team, welcome back to the Stronger Stride podcast. You're with your host, Sophie Lane, accredited exercise physiologist, S&C coach and run coach, and Lydia Mackay, running physiotherapist and ultra runner.
Whoa.
I just had to say something else on the back of my name because I was like, I don't have much else.
You could say sub, what are you up to now on your 5K?
Oh yeah, sub 19K five
that's
runner.
Crazy.
In the 18s.
That should be 18 in Instagram
something.
Bio.
Yeah, 18 something. I feel like
I reckon I'd get that tattooed if I got that far.
18.
It's that worthy. It's great. It's so great. But aww, I love that you're giving us our little descriptions at the start, because I feel like we probably come across as just like two random girls that like to have a chat. But I feel like we're a bit more than that.
We do like to have a chat. And, you know, I really have realized, not realized, I mean, it's been a while, but our lives and I don't know which of us, in fact, I wonder what? Which,
where's this going?
Who of either of us is more involved in running? Like, hang on, just wait for this. I was just thinking, like, our lives, and like, I'm just going to write me for a second. It's literally wake up, go to bed, whole day is like revolved around running. Like, every single part of my day is basically, I mean, I do swim and surf and free dive and go to the gym. But everything before, after, in between is something to do with running. Like, I'm either on a run talking to somebody about running, or like prepping for a podcast about running, or treating a running injury, or reading up on a running injury, reading a running paper, listen to, like, it's just constant. So yeah. I don't know, Soph, where do you think?
Well, this is coming from someone who a few months ago said, I'm not really a runner, or I'm not a runner.
I'm just like someone who enjoys exercise and community.
You can't say you're not a runner. That's incorrect.
Well, I'm not a runner. I don't identify as a runner. I just happen to do a lot of running.
How can you spend all of your hours involved in it and not be it?
I know. It just happens to occupy a lot of my brain, of my waking hours and sleeping hours. Although I don't dream about running very often, if ever. But maybe I could add that in there.
You may as well fill all the minutes. You're wasting time. Imagine how much you could know if you dreamt about it as well.
Actually, I do dream about patience. You might go sub 18 sometimes. Well, that's the plan.
Yeah,
I'm announcing it. My plan is to go sub 18. If anyone was wondering, that's my plan. You haven't asked me yet about that plan.
Well, so we'll get to it. But I still haven't. We haven't worked out who does running more. I haven't said my piece yet.
Okay, what do you think?
Well, I think I'm on the same page.
Yeah.
Wake up, go and train client, go and run with clients, go and do their strength training for their running, write a running program, post a running location, create a running route, go for a run.
All the things.
Literally, I'm on board.
I actually, you know what?
It's not a race, all right?
No, I'm going to give it to you. I think you're the winner, because I've realized I've spent many hours, and, you know, this is a little secret, actually. In fact, here we go. I'm going to expose myself. I always say that I'm not someone who, like, sits and, like, consumes television or anything like that, but I've watched probably almost a few hours now of surfing content on YouTube, and I was like loving the big waves that we had in Sydney. When I say loving, like, I wasn't in the waves, but I was like consuming all the content. Every time someone was posting about this big wave that we had in Sydney, like, I was like trying to find out who the surfers were, who the bodyboarders were. I'm like stalking all their Instagrams. Like, I was very consumed by that. So, you know what? That's where you take into the lead, Sophie Lane. So you're welcome.
Right. Great. I'm glad we got that sorted. That was real dilemma important in my head, and I just glad we figured it out. I'm glad to know I'm the winner. All right, moving along. How's your training going?
It's going good. It's a little bit of a weird one. I am on a recovery week this week, so I sort of like had a bit of a like, I think like my training got a little bit all up in the air because I had my injury. So there wasn't any like the structure of me having like a deload week didn't quite happen, because it was kind of just like I did a little bit less and then I was like rehabbing my injury and all that stuff. So I kind of forgotten about the whole like deload week just in general, like non-hamstring related. So on Tuesday this week, I decided to make it a deload week because I had Monday off. And isn't it funny? You have one day off and you're like, I don't even run anymore. I might as well have the whole week. But like, I just forget I have one day off and I'm like, oh my gosh, when did I run last? And I think I didn't do a long run last weekend. And so like I did a midweek long run. And so it kind of just felt like so long since I'd run. And then that week that I did the long, oh yeah, so last week, it still feels like so long now since I've run. I did run this morning, by the way. And I have run a few times this week, but I've run 3 times in 5 days. So I guess really I've only had 2 days, but they're like really short runs. Like I ran 5Ks Tuesday. I went to track last night, which is like 7Ks. So much fun. I love running on the track. That's like highlight of the week. And then this morning with the Krusty Run Club, which is so fun. But anyway, deload week. This is like kind of like maybe my 6th or 7th week without like a deload week. So I was like due for one. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anyway, due for a deload week. But overall running is going well. I felt really kind of like, physically I felt pretty good at training last night, but like mentally I like wasn't that like focused. I was kind of just like, I don't know. I think I'm not sure if it was just because I'm on a deload week. Or maybe it was a physical thing as well. Like something about when you like haven't run as much, I just don't feel as like fresh and energized or like thinking about running. I don't know.
Were you running hard last night? Because my question to you is, would you deload your intensity as well as your volume, or what's the go with that?
Oh yeah, great question. No, I was kind of just like volume. Normally it would be a deload of everything. But I still wanted to go to training because I think from like my hammy rehab perspective, it's sort of at that stage where I need to be introducing the speedy stuff and the plyometrics and that sharper twitch activity. So I'm kind of keen to still get to training and like just see how it goes. So yeah, that was my reasoning behind going to training. And also just for like the social, like I think like the deloading has been nice. Cause like I've like had a few little sleep-ins and just, I don't know, just like more rest downtime, but I think
more surfing video watching time,
more surfing video watching time. Yes, exactly. And yeah, no, I was so excited to go to training. Yeah, that was good. That was fun.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. But no, the sub 18 minute 5K is happening. I don't know when, but I reckon maybe end of the year next year. I don't know. I don't want to be too wild. I think I've decided I'm going to do Melbourne 10K. I'm so like itching to have a race to sign up for. I think like I've spent so much time at work the last couple of months with people talking about what races they're doing. And it makes me so excited. Like I genuinely get just as excited about all my patients' goals and races and like all the things. Like I feel like I'm just so in their thing. Like I feel like that is almost enough for me. But then at the same time, like, no, I really want to have something myself. And like people are like, oh, so what are you doing? And I was like, oh, just like sorting out my injury and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, no, I think October is a reasonable amount of time to like, let's say the next 4 weeks is like the final injury ticking off. And then beyond there, I'm like, really just want to focus and like be in the training program, which I'm very, very ready for.
Good. Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. And what's the goal for the 10K then?
Well, I mean, the same goal as it has been in the last couple of years, right? Sub 40. Like, it's just so stupid that it hasn't happened yet. I know. It's
what have
so
you been doing?
Stupid.
You've just been sitting around watching surfing videos.
I know. That's it. I'm too busy watching surfing and diving, to be fair. I can't believe.
This is exciting. This is the year of the sub 40.
I know. And like, okay, for context, anyone who hasn't been a long time podcast listener, I did 40 minutes and like 20 seconds a couple years ago when I was like really not going for it. It was like a windy course with like some hills. And I was like, oh, I wasn't even going for it. I'm going to have to like go for it next time. And then all the injuries, stress fracture, blah, 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 training for like trail running and like not really doing any fast stuff. And then finally last year, I like came back from a stress fracture. I like did 1 month of like going to run training because, you know, obviously like intensity was not the priority post stress fracture. It was more about bone density. But then when we went to Melbourne, I got the bloody flu. And honestly, I don't know how I got through that race, but I did, 40 minutes and 6 seconds or something. And so like in some ways I'm so glad because like, it means that I still felt like I got it that day. Like I was so happy with how I ran. Yeah. And I think just cause like, well, to be fair, it's cause I sprinted for the wrong finish line and it was like 39:39. And I was like, fuck yeah. I've like just gotten this time. So I like, I had the victory and then I obviously had to run like another 200 meters. So I feel like I've kind of done it, but I feel very confident that I'm going to be able to do it. Like, I don't doubt it. I also just know that, like, once I've got it, then it's going to be like every number after that is only going to just seem like a little tiny thing. So I'm kind of like keen to savor it and like build up for it.
It's like your 18th birthday. A big milestone. The ones after that, not as relevant. Yeah, not as exciting. Yeah. Until you get like sub 35 or something. I wonder what would be next. Like, once you make 40, it's like, it's all great after that. I mean, it's all great the whole time, but like, what's the next big number? 39, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it just gets harder and harder, right? I still feel like I've never really done much consistent running. Like, despite all this run chat, it's just
you're not
like,
really a runner, are you?
No, I know. I'm just like mostly like don't run. But anyway, I'm excited for that. And obviously the sub 18 minute 5K sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about you, Soph? Tell me about you.
Well, I feel like this time last week I was concerned for myself.
Yeah, I need some proper updates about your hamstring.
Yeah, so I just got back from the gym tonight, and this time last week I did a similar class and I was doing Bulgarian split squats, which I've done on and off for years, but just haven't done them recently. And I don't know if I was just like doing them too fast or what was going on, but I genuinely felt like my both hamstrings were like ripping off the bone all of a sudden. This doesn't feel fantastic. And then, so I carried on, but it was all just sore and it all just felt not nice. And then running the next day, like just jogging really slowly, they're a bit achy. And then sitting in the car, they're a bit achy. And I was like, oh, I've just gone and copied Lydia. Like, she's had this thing so
this
long.
Thing?
Yeah, this hamstring injury. And we're like nearly past it. We're ready to move on with our lives. And then bam, I just go and copy her and do the same thing. And I was so frustrated, but I've just run like super easy, super short runs this week, like trying to keep it as flat as I can, short steps, all that stuff. And it's feeling good. Like it hasn't hurt at all today. I ran like 4Ks easy this morning with the trail group for work and didn't notice it in the car, just went to the gym. It's all good. So I think, I don't know, maybe I was just overreacting on last Friday or I've just had a lucky fluke. I'm not sure exactly what, but I'm still... we'll be cautious. I've got Sydney Morning Herald or Runaway Half this weekend coming, so 1 week's time. So I just would be tapering anyway, so I'm just going to keep it really easy and just see what happens next weekend. And hopefully it feels okay. I was in two minds. Like, I didn't even know whether I should bother doing the race because, like, what's it worth if I'm just going to
Is it worth?
Yeah, what's I know. Worth, this is the whole thing. Like, what's anything worth? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just such a weird, like, it's such a weird decision when you're not completely broken, but there's this like thing hanging around. You're like, should I do this thing that I've signed up for? And I've been like thinking about a little bit. It's not like it's been the A race of the year, as we spoke about, don't have any A races, but it's also just like, oh, waste of money, waste of time. Like,
people you can't get your money back fun. Now.
No, that's what I mean. So it's
exactly.
It's a weird decision because neither of them are like, yeah, anyway, I don't know. Basically, at this point, I'm doing it. And I'm glad that it feels okay now. So we'll stay tuned. But basically, all my running's been short and easy. And you know what else? Got another update. My Strava captions are really lacking. I'm just looking at my Strava because I was going to tell you what I've been doing, but they're just morning run, evening run, afternoon run.
That's not like you.
I've got no details. I know. I guess because they were all just a bit not, you know, there was nothing really that exciting to report. So I might need to get back onto the Strava caption train post half marathon.
Oh my goodness. I know I get weird injuries. Like, I get weird things. I get, in fact, you know, I still am the queen.
You are the
injury.
You own things. That. I'm the runner. Yeah. You're the injury queen.
Yeah. But can I just say, well, makes me a better physio, right?
Yeah.
Good at treating weird shit constantly. But you like just, I feel like there's a lot of near misses with you.
Yeah.
And there's like lots of times
some trips
where I'm just, slips. And I'm like waiting for you to fall apart. And I like even that weekend in Melbourne and had both like just not run during the week. And we're like, yeah, we're going to run 45 Ks in 2 days, which like, no, it was more than that.
It was a lot.
60 Ks in 2 days.
We did 31.
Like
We
did 3 30 K days in a row. It's like, I don't know, which is fine. Like, I feel like both of us can handle that. But at the same time, I just remember thinking like, oh my gosh, like what is going on, because like my hamstring was not good that weekend. Like, let's be real, I was struggling.
Well, do you remember, like every morning before we'd get up, we'd go down, like down to the bottom of the hostel, we'd like hang around out the front waiting for our watches, and we'd be like just assessing our body. I'm like, oh yeah, a bit stiff in the ankle, a bit achy, or hamstrings a bit tight, all this, and we're like, oh, we'll just jog it out, we'll just see how it feels. And then like 4 hours later, we've like run laps of the city, had coffee, had some food. We're back again. I'm like, oh, yeah, I feel all right now.
That was so good.
It was great.
We should just run between cafes all day.
Yeah. I feel like we should do just like a day, like a full day trip of just like,
oh
the
my
city
gosh,
floor of just like cafe hopping, shop hopping. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Can we make this
just like a 9 to 5 kind of, you know?
Let's do this. Let's make this an event.
Like a day tour, like a bus tour, but on by foot. And
oh my gosh, guys, who is keen?
Energy.
Let's put it in the calendar. One Sunday coming up.
Well, yeah.
We're going to have like Tour de Sydney. I don't know what. And we're going to like pick our favorite, like, I'll pick my favorite coffee spot. You pick your favorite mango smoothie spot.
We'll have to practice our like post food eating skills as well, which we speak about in this episode, actually.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Guys, who's keen? Right. Who's keen? Well, everyone put your hands up if you're keen. I'm sorry, I'm putting my hands up while they're running right now. Oh, this is so fun, guys. Everyone is invited. I can't
We did say we were going to organize a Strongest Ride in the Long Run, which is in the calendar, but we haven't spoken it about, so wasn't sure. But we can clarify dates and get something happening.
Gosh, I wonder how far we'll cover. I'm so excited. Oh, how good. Maybe like an ultra, but like an urban ultra, and we'll just like, oh, it's going to be so fun. Okay, all right, cool.
I'm kind of shocked by your excitement.
I'll make it to a doc. Yeah, I'm.
Because urban ultra, Bondi to Manly, you were not on board with that.
No, no. Well, I just have realized that the whole like using your feet to get places is really cool. I've always liked it. I've always appreciated it. But I just think there's something cool about doing it in a city, because like you can stop for snacks, and I just think it's great. And you know what? Okay, I had a really strong appreciation for being able to stop for snacks during last week. So I didn't tell you, but I had a bit of a moment last week. I was working in Cronulla for a day, and our good friend Patty Mack, who's on the podcast, was like, hey, let's run home from Cronulla. So we ran from Cronulla back to our other workplace, which is Clovelly. So it's like 30, well, we kind of got a bit wrong. I said yes. I kind of thought it was around 25K. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Turns out it was like 33, which is also fine. And I said to Pat pre-run, I'm trying to practice getting better at taking food on runs and water. And he was like, oh, okay. So like, take your vest. And I was like, oh, next time. And
you at, like, every around, time.
Yeah, it was such a lovely run. Beautiful sunset. Everything was going well. We like went past this Sovo, and I was like, I should stop for a snack. I was like, no, I feel fine. Like, we've stopped for some water. I'm good. Anyway, at like 22 Ks, my heart rate started dropping. And I was like getting clammy and like blurred vision. I ran for another like 3 Ks. And then eventually like I had to lie down.
Stop? Well, I wondered what the lie down was. I didn't quite understand that without all this context. Will you not stop straight away?
Because I like, it wasn't too bad. And then it just became like, I need to lie down. Anyway, basically, short story is 3 lie downs later, another 10Ks, still got to 32.
Did you get some food?
Yes. That's the whole point of this.
Okay,
is that
good.
How great Sydney, because you can stop for snacks. So I walked into the shops, and bless Pat, was so great. I just couldn't see like any of the things. And it was so
my goodness.
And I was like, he was like, what do you want? And I my brain was not there. I was trying so hard to read the labels, and I couldn't.
Had you eaten lunch?
So of course I had lunch. I had a snack. Like, I had all the things.
Why are you being so dramatic?
Well, it was like, okay, look, it was like 5 hours after lunch, and I'd been running around with the footy. So I basically had been exercising with the footy.
I'm just imagining you with just a football, like not a team, just you and the ball running around.
Well, I used to do that. That was another one of my hobbies. I hadn't told you about that. Anyway, the whole thing is I had to have a few lie downs. Eventually we had to catch the bus the last K, because Pat was like, no more lie downs for you. But I did get some apple juice. And you know what? I didn't even think I liked apple juice, but let me tell you, when you're lying on the concrete on the side
of the
road,
you're about to pass out. Yeah, it's
some apple juice.
Great.
It's so delicious. So I found a new favorite treat. So I really can't wait for our run in Sydney, where we get to stop and have apple juice.
Can we have the apple juice pre you about to have a faint?
Yeah. But you know what? It was a great learning, because I think I had not appreciated the fact that when you go for a long run in the morning, you've got all your stores from the night before, was when you go for a long run in the afternoon and you've been like active recently and not eating something just before you've gone, you actually haven't got fuel stores like ready to go. So
yeah,
it was a really great learning because I just hadn't done a long run in the afternoon before. Mm-hmm. And I've done so many long runs in the morning, like 3-hour runs with nothing. I know, not ideal for performance, not blah, ideal blah,
for health.
For health.
Yeah.
Or for hormonal health, all those things. Yeah. But I like my body has been very fine at coping with that. So I was very surprised. I was so surprised. But let me tell you, I have learnt my lesson.
Good. I hope so. Can you just always have your pack? If it's
around. I did have my pack. It just
Why
do
you not have anything
me?
In it?
Well, no, what I just decided to leave it.
They see, no, we've spoken about this.
I know. And this I was not, the one who you, was trying to tell you to wear
yourself
your pack.
On the wrist. Is that a thing?
I know.
Not good.
But it was karma getting me and I deserve it.
Yeah,
because
you do.
I literally
you
said
deserve
pack,
that.
I am working on getting better.
Yeah.
At fueling when I run.
You've been saying it for ages.
Yeah. I know, a few years.
You're all talk, no action. Show
no,
us
I've been
the pack.
Getting better at drinking. I've been getting so right. much better at drinking water.
Okay, 2023 anyway. Is the year of speed and of proper packs. Nutrition and hydration intra running.
Yeah. It was good. It was really fun. I haven't had a run that's been hard for a long time. And that was
it's hard. Just not quite the right type of hard, but anyway, I feel like this is an off camera, off microphone discussion.
Anyway,
I have a stern talking to you.
How good was our chat?
Oh, soda. So good. We've really rambled on, but this episode was so good and we've been waiting for this moment for so long. We've been talking about it and it's finally happened and it was just as good as we thought. If you're not already following Sota and you don't know who he is, then I don't know who you are because you've got to catch up and keep up with the running people. Sota is the running guy.
Well, so, we should say, if you're not in Sydney, you may not know Sota. I think Sota is global. But I think, you know, we've got global, we've got international listeners. We've got listeners on islands that we don't even know the names of. Sota is very well known and very well loved in the Sydney running community and probably all of Australia and definitely international as well. He's a photographer. He's a YouTuber. He's a famous YouTuber. And he's also a bloody speedy runner. Like he just ran over the weekend or whenever it was, sub 4-minute pace for 50Ks, which is ridiculous.
Insane. And that's not even like he normally does that. He's a 5K, 10K runner. So the fact he just randomly whipped out this ultra at that pace is insane and just shows his talent. He's a 15:40 5K runner, 32:42 10K runner. He's super speedy and he's also just a really nice guy. He is, if you're ever at a run and he's there, he's super welcoming. He'll chat to anyone. He makes everyone feel a part of it. And it's not about pace or competition. It's all about just connecting runners of all abilities. And he's just a legend. So we're so honored and humbled to have him on today.
He's also just extremely knowledgeable. Like he's one of those people that doesn't do things half-assed. Like he really commits to everything he does. So he's got a lot of knowledge about running and he's been a part of lots of different run clubs. So he really has so much to say. And if you check out his YouTube, you'll see that he actually shares a lot of his knowledge and his skill. And he also used to work and manage Pace Athletics. So he knows a lot about running shoes. And yeah, we could totally have another episode just with us chatting to Sota about running shoes because we chat about it at the end. And I think we could have made that the whole episode. So if anyone's keen for that, let us know because we'll do another episode. But yeah, we mostly talk about Sota's training philosophy, how he got into running and how he structures his training. So he normally runs like around 100K weeks or a little bit more, I think a little bit more. And he talks about how he recovers, how he has easy runs and like his training philosophy, which is not just about like his mileage and his speed work, but it's a lot more about like enjoyment and having aspirations and friendships and social things. So yeah, Sota is an inspiration and I feel really hyped and excited after I chat and I'm just ready to go and do all the runs and, you know, sub 18 minutes, all those good things.
Yeah, it's happening. Now, if you like this chat, you can also check out Sota's podcast. He's just started recently. There's a couple of episodes up there. And hopefully one day we might even get on there. The podcast is the Wave Running Podcast. We'll have it all linked below, as well as his Instagram and his photography account and his YouTube channel. So much content. You guys are going to be listening and watching Sota's stuff for hours and hours. So please enjoy and let us know your feedback and also pass it on to Sota if you enjoyed the episode.
That's it, guys. And if you are in need of any nutrition, we have a discount code with Tailwind Nutrition and also Vivo Barefoot, which we speak about in the podcast. We both love, all three of us love our barefoot shoes. So we have a discount code for Vivo Barefoot and you can get 15% off. So check that out in the show notes. And that is all. Enjoy the episode, guys. We can't wait to hear what you think. We know you're going to love it.
All right, here we are. Welcome back to another episode of the Stronger Stride podcast. We are so excited. I feel like this has been a long time coming and I feel really good about this episode because it's a good friend of ours, Sota Mahara. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. Happy to be on after talking about it for a long time and knowing you guys for a while now as well.
Yeah, aww. I was trying to think back to when we first met and I think it was at the Roselle Pace Run Club for me anyway. But I can't remember.
I actually think it's the Hoka Run Club. I think there was an event at Centennial. That's all I remember.
Oh, yes. The Global Running Day.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, aww. Cool. Oh, there you go. Nice.
Okay. Well, that's nice, guys.
Yeah, what a moment.
So happy for you both.
Yeah. What about you, Lydia? Tell us your Sota meeting story.
I think Sota, we met at the 4:40 in the dark. Was that definitely then. And I'd heard about you for a long time and I was very excited to meet you and it finally happened. And we did the 4:40. I feel like I didn't give you much of a chance to get too many words in that morning. I feel like I was really hyped. I think because I just moved to Sydney, I was like going a little bit, a lot of energy. But I'm so glad to finally be here listening to you because before you came on, before this afternoon, I had a bit of a stalk through your YouTube. Oh my goodness. Wow. Always knew that you were a YouTuber, but had never watched. And I'm a fan. So I'm like ready for your next YouTube upload because I'm now a subscriber.
Yes.
Everyone, I appreciate get on board. It. I think I did notice one subscriber go up like recently today.
Well, there you go.
Oh, that's it. Right. That's so good. I think before we get too carried away, I think it'd be nice for the listeners to get a bit of an understanding of who you are. If they don't know you, I'm sure everyone does, but just give us a bit of context on, I guess, your journey when you first moved to Australia. How was that process like? Have you always been a runner? And yeah, just take it from there.
Yeah, I think I've been running properly for about 2 or 3 years now, but before that it was always like on and off and a little bit in high school kind of thing. But yeah, I grew up in Thailand. I'm Japanese though, so I've been quite international, which is pretty cool. And yeah, did a bit here and there in high school, but I did have a coach from the US in high school. So he was really into like low mileage and a lot of quality speed stuff, which is what I did a lot of. And then, yeah, I eventually went to Australia for university. And that's when I kind of got really into running because I realized how, you know, enthusiastic everyone is about running. And I think that's really kind of, yeah, I think it spreads quite quickly to everyone. And even over the few years that I was running in Sydney, I found everyone getting into the sport even more and getting quicker as well in the process. So, yeah, it's cool to see all the run clubs going as well. And, yeah, that's about it. I just love running.
Yeah, it's so cool. I feel like it takes people like you to kind of build the community and kind of build the hype. Like I feel like because you're so involved with so many different groups and you're at so many different events and obviously you're putting it on your YouTube and Instagram, I think that kind of energy, if there's just a few people doing things like that and being a part of it, it kind of builds that community. And whether you came at the right time or whatever it was, I think it's been really nice to see you so engaged with everyone and everyone knows you and you really bring people together. And I think something that's quite cool and maybe it's more common than I once thought, but someone like yourself who's quite a fast runner, you're still quite welcoming and inclusive to runners of all abilities and you're happy to run with everyone, which I think really helps bring it together. Because I think previously there's been the elites and then the everyday runners and bridging that gap, I think, has been really cool to see you do.
Yeah, 100%. I think because elite runners have treated me so nicely, I feel like I want to make sure I'm the same and I'm, you know, kind of welcoming and encouraging to all the people that are newer to the sport than I am, even though I don't feel like I've done it for that long either. But you know, there's always people that are coming into the sport, so yeah, just making sure they're enjoying it at the start so that they are in it for the long term is one of the things I always want to focus on. Because, yeah, at the end of the day, the more people we can get into the sport and like enthusiastic about it, the better it is for us in the future. Because then, you know, not that I'm thinking about money already, but like there's going to be more, you know, sponsorships and money involved in the sport, and even like production value as well. Like maybe more of the road races will have proper videos and live streams down the line as well. So I think anything that can push the sport forward is good. And that's why I have like a lot of platforms as well. And we'll talk a bit more about me starting a podcast later too, I'm sure. But yeah, I'm trying to just fill out all the holes in the market, and yeah, hopefully people enjoy watching the content and all that too.
So did you want to tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel then as well? Like, when did that start? And also your photography endeavors too, because I know you photograph runners as well. Did that happen when you moved to Australia, or how long have you been doing that?
Yeah, I think I started YouTube over a decade ago now.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is a long, long time ago. Yeah, nice. But started off with like really random videos. I think I was just like a, you know, middle school kid dancing in front of the camera with a few of my friends.
Are they still up? Are they online still?
No, they're not.
Oh. Maybe we'll have to get a Strongest Ride exclusive upload.
We might. but yeah, I think over time the content has evolved. I think I was making like, you know, biology and maths tutoring videos and stuff at one point as well.
Oh, nice.
And then I made piano videos. Yeah, piano videos. And then I think it was during COVID when I started uploading running content only, because that's when I really picked up running, because I had nothing else to do. And I thought it'd be cool to show the journey from me going from, you know, whatever time I was running back then until now. Yeah, so I thought that would be a cool thing. And I think that's when my channel started, you know, getting a bit of traction as well, through some of the videos that were a bit more interesting and informative, I guess. And yeah, I want to keep doing it now because it's so fun.
Yeah, it's so good. I think, I don't really watch much YouTube at all, but your videos, you just like the way that it's all put together, and yeah, you do a really good job of it. So it's good content. I would definitely recommend people watching it. And cool to know that you've done it for so long as well, and with so much variety too. So really nice to see that you've stuck at something for so long. I guess as well, it'd be good to get an understanding of your, I guess what you just said, you know, when you started getting serious about the videos and about running and whatever time you were at then to now, you've obviously had quite a lot of progress over your running career over the last few years. Do you want to let us know, I guess, where you're at currently with your PBs and I guess which races you're focusing on at the moment?
Yeah, my current PBs are 15:40 in the 5K and 32:42 in the 10K. The half marathon, I think I did around 76 minutes last year, but because I was kind of injured, and I got cramps during the race and stuff, I wasn't too happy. But yeah, just focusing on 5 and 10K at the moment, but slowly trying to get into the realm of half marathons. I know I did like an ultra recently for the first time, but yeah, I think I hear a lot about how people focus on speed when they're younger, just because that's what you lose before endurance. So yeah, I think my main goal is to work on the speed while I can and then focus on endurance down the line.
That's awesome. And yeah, so one of your recent YouTube videos, which I watched, about you going from a 19:15 5K all the way down to your PB right now, which is lightning fast. Now, I think so many people, the 20 minutes is like a big barrier, but also I feel like it's also quite an achievable barrier for a large amount of people. And it's something that, I mean, it's so relative, isn't it? It's so hard to say like it's realistic for a lot of people, because like, what does that even mean? But probably I imagine a lot of people listening to this might have that as a goal or might be around that time. And like, it's a really exciting, satisfying thing. And obviously it's all relative and, you know, everyone's on their own journey. So I don't want to make that sound like people should be at that time or whatever. But the progress from that time all the way down to 15 minutes, like I think people who are sort of like cracking that 20 minute mark, you know, the idea of getting into the 15s is like a whole different level. So the fact that you've come from that, to me, I'm like, I mean, first I'm inspired and I'm excited and I'm like, wow, like in 4 years, like that just seems amazing. And I'm also aware that you don't have a coach either. So that's also incredible. And also, I mean, I don't know exactly what the timeline is, but like being a student too, and, you know, going between lots of different run clubs, and it seems like you almost have this really casual approach in a way, but at the same time, there's also like this real structure and method behind it. So yeah, tell us about that. Tell us about the journey. And yeah, so if not, I'm really keen to hear about your training philosophy as well.
Yeah, I think the most important thing that I learned is that, you know, running is like a long-term sport. So the accumulation of fitness and physiological adaptations over time is what gets you quicker, like progressively. And I think it's important to know that it's pretty hard to kind of make huge leaps and bounds at once. It's just because, yeah, it does take time to build that fitness. And I think as long as you're not in a rush to get to a certain time and just focus on enjoying the sport and, yeah, getting those easy runs in, you get pretty far just from that. So I think 4 years ago, I wasn't really looking to become a 15-minute 5K runner. I was just like enjoying it. And inevitably, I just became faster, you know, over time. And yeah, I think consistency was the biggest thing. I don't think I've ever spent more than like a couple days off running at once, apart from one time where I got this cycling crash, which is really bad. Where I had to take like 3 weeks off. But yeah, apart from that, I've always been jogging every few days or every day now. And that definitely goes a long way as well. But I just hear from runners that have been running for more than I have that, you know, it takes about 10, 20 years to really, really reach your potential, especially in stuff like the half and the marathon. So I know that I'm still far off getting to a decade of running, and even 20 years. So the people that really stick for the long term are the ones that will reap the benefits the most. So yeah, I think enjoying it definitely helps with long term involvement in the sport as well.
Mm. And is there a reason that you, I mean, I don't know if you've had a coach maybe sporadically throughout, but I know since I've known you, you've just been doing your own thing, own coaching, own program. Is there a reason that you, do you think you wouldn't be suited to kind of following a structure by a coach, or have you just not kind of got around to that?
Yeah, well, I think the most amazing thing about not having a coach is that you can do anything every day, right? Because I've hit you up for runs sometimes, Sophie. We've had some nice runs. I don't know if I've run with Lydia yet, outside of the 440. I would have loved to, but yeah. Just being able to go to different clubs as well. And with my lifestyle, like, I feel like my schedule is never uniform every week. It's always different, so it helps to be able to have the flexibility to do whatever I want when I want. And it also helps me just join whatever club I want and accommodate the other people who have a coach and can't be flexible. So I feel like I've experienced a bit of every group. Yeah, every group's training dynamic and all that, which is also really nice as well, because that kind of helps increase your network too. And yeah, just being part of so many clubs has help me outside of running too, because, you know, even career wise, I want to network with as many physios as possible because I want to do that down the line. And yeah, having that flexibility has definitely helped with that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think there's definitely, I'd imagine some sort of, I don't know if the benefit's the right word, but maybe it's an advantage or something, where getting that exposure to so much variety would probably be like building your skill set and knowledge, because you're just getting exposure to so many different things and slightly different styles of training. And from that, I imagine you're sort of like picking the best things. And then also just the reality of it being more practical, right? I guess if it just like fits in with your lifestyle. And then also like just like the friendships. I think that's so great. And obviously there's intention behind that as well. From your experience of all the different run clubs, I know we're sort of like going on tangents here, but what do you think makes a good run club?
Yeah, I think I've been thinking about this a lot, just because I was the vice president of a run club at one point in university. It was the Sydney Uni Run Club. And yeah, before COVID, it actually blew up and we got like 100 people at one of the runs. So I think I wanted to make sure that everyone was kind of having a good experience so that people come back and we maintain those high turnouts, because that's probably an important factor, because you don't want your club to be, you know, like 2 or 3 people per run. And the most important thing I found was that it's really good to introduce people to other people, because once you get that initial conversation going, they'll talk forever, and then you can focus on the other people and try and introduce other people together. So yeah, even if it means that you go to someone brand new that you don't even know and just go, you know, hey, I'm Soda. Yeah, what's your name? And then you get to know them, and then you introduce them to someone else that you don't know immediately after. I think that's also helping with, you know, making people have a better time in the run club, because some people are a little more introverted and it's quite hard to for them to kind of get into a conversation. And honestly, I feel like I am an introvert at heart as well, but doing a lot of this kind of voluntary, you know, vice president work for this run club helped me get a bit better at interacting with people, I guess. And yeah, I think it's always sad to see people like in the corner not talking to people. So I can relate with that. And I think that's why I feel like I have a soft spot and I try and help people have a good experience. Because yeah, as long as you're talking to people, I feel like the actual workout and stuff doesn't really matter, because people are there at the end of the day to socialize, because running is a social sport. So yeah, I think that's the most important. But apart from that, just marketing your club well. And I'm obviously a big fan of photography and a bit of graphic design as well. I love my Photoshop. So I like making advertisements and event banners look really nice and engaging so that more people come to the events as well.
There's this really nice through line of sustainability and enjoyment, which is really cool, because I feel like often in sport, people are really fixed on performance, and fair enough, you know, it feels good to do well and achieve. And obviously, you know, you do have a focus on performance as well, but it's really nice to hear someone who is at a level of high performance yet has this real perspective around it being sustainable and social and fun. And yeah, I mean, like you said at the start, like being able to run with people at all different paces and all different abilities and making all inclusive, I think that's so lovely. Have you always been like that, or is that something that you've like adjusted or changed, or why do you think you're like that?
Yeah, in high school I was definitely pretty quiet, so I think it has changed. I can't pinpoint when exactly, but when I first joined the UCID Run Club, it was a bit smaller, and you know, I wanted to have more involvement with it, so I slowly kind of worked my way up, and then I think eventually I was just in the position where I had to be part of the group that decides where the club's gonna go and stuff. So I think just the gradual build-up of responsibility forced me into that position, but I don't regret it because I learned a lot from it. And yeah, again, the connections I made from it are amazing as well, because there's a person called James Constantine who is heavily involved with athletics NSW, and I met him through that as well. So the connections I made are definitely invaluable. And I think if you ever get a chance to help out with a club, you should, even if it's just voluntary for one event, because it does help to have those extra people put their hands up. And, you know, like even if you're just at the back of a pack and making sure that the slowest person doesn't get dropped behind and stuff, that helps the organizer of the club a lot. So, you know, anything you can do to help is really good. And going back to what you were saying about, you know, me caring about performance but also the community is yeah, good, because at the end of the day, you know, even if I'm sacrificing a tiny percentage of performance by having not structured training and doing a bit of random training, I think the enjoyment factor is more important, because like when I retire from the sport or when I'm not running anymore, I'm gonna look back and, you know, remember all the fun memories more than like a specific little time that I did in a small race or something. So yeah, I think I definitely care about the friendships I make in the sport rather than the times.
It's so good to hear, because I think it's easy to get caught up in the numbers, and I guess because there's so much objective data associated with running, it can kind of be a bit more consuming. But if, you know, as you said, running is a social sport, and I think that's a really nice reminder. And I think there's still a lot of people out there that run by themselves and have just never joined a group, and that's totally okay. But I think once you can be a part of a group and make those connections and friendships and feel kind of included, it just opens up running like to a whole new degree, and it changes, I guess, how you experience it. And I think it's really nice to hear that you're a part of that. And I think it's a really important role for someone in that group setting to help make those people feel included who, as you said, often are out on the side or in the corner, not really chatting. They don't feel like they can kind of open up. But if there's someone there to kind of bring them in or be behind them at the back of the pack, I think that's really a really important role, and really nice that you're one of those people that do that. If we can come back to your training and just chat a little bit more about, I guess, your... So we've talked about kind of your social side of running and picking and choosing what you do and going to different clubs and things like that. But I guess a little bit more about your philosophy around, you know, running really easy on easy days and then having your really hard sessions. How do you kind of structure that kind of intensity and your sessions that you're doing, and how do you sort of, I guess, program towards a race? Or is it really all just you're just doing everything that kind of fits in and is enjoyable?
Yeah, I think... for the most part, I do just enjoy it, because a lot of athletes around my level tend to have these seasonal arcs where they would do higher mileage when there's not many races going on and then lower their mileage when the races are coming up. And I feel like I stick to a pretty consistent mileage the whole time, but maybe the one thing that changes is the intensity sometimes. So when I have like a race coming up, I tend to do a bit more work on the track and like speed stuff, whereas when there's not many races going on, I'll just do easy runs. So my mileage doesn't really change much throughout the year, but yeah, I guess it's the intensity. And like I talked about in the video where I talk about how I went from a 19 minute 5k to a 15 minute 5k, I think a lot of people forget that it's not just your top end speed and then your easy runs. There's like a lactate threshold, which I won't go into super big detail because Nick, I think it was Nick, did an amazing job explaining that. He's a professional in that field. But yeah, if you kind of work on that lactate threshold and shifting that graph to the right, you really increase the pace that you can run at for a longer period of time without getting tired. So that threshold pace is really important as well. So I think for a while, I was really focusing on that tempo and threshold effort, where it's like comfortably uncomfortable. But yeah, it helps when you do that consistently over like 6 months, because then, yeah, the slightly harder paces feel a bit easier.
That's awesome. And then what about recovery? Like you said that you've sort of not really missed that many consecutive days, or sorry, you've only had a very small amount of non-days running. Goodness, I said that in the most chaotic way, but you know what I'm trying to say? The opposite of not consecutive. Anyway, you haven't had heaps of time off. How do you balance recovery? Because I think for someone who doesn't run every day, they would struggle to imagine how you could just continuously run for years and have very few days off. How do you recover?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is just to have like maybe one day a week where you run extremely slow, where you purely don't care about pace or anything like that. Like, honestly, if it means you have to put a sticker on your watch so that you don't see the numbers, I think you should do it. Or if you just do it on your phone one day, just keep it in your belt and not bring your watch, that would help. I don't personally do that because I think I've built the discipline over time to not stress about the numbers. And I think even getting your friend that doesn't run into the sport and then just running with them once a week, or obviously having a rest day when you truly need it, does help as well. But yeah, I think for a long period of time, I did a 6 day week followed by a 7 day week. So I would have one rest day every fortnight, but I would make sure that both weeks I would have one day where I go extremely chill as well. And like right now I have this little club called Coffee Club. I didn't make it, my friend did, but it's a club where we meet up every Friday, and it was made by corporate workers. And yeah, it was just that one day where we can really go easy on a Friday morning and then have coffee afterwards and not kind of care about the pace, but just be really social. And I think going to that club helped a lot as well, because you know, a lot of people have had a long week and we don't really want to be tempoing on a Friday. And yeah, that also helps to have like a bunch of friends that understand the importance of going easy on your easy days to run with. Because all these guys that I run with on a Friday, they're experienced ultra runners and stuff. So they're capable of running fast if they wanted to, but we all decide to go chill on a Friday. So just having a good culture around you that understands how training works, which is by doing most of your runs easy, definitely goes a long way as well.
Yeah, it's so important. I think, running slow is for a new runner, such a hard thing to do. And even a more experienced runner, especially when you know that you can run fast. But I think that advice about like going with friends, going slowly, like sometimes it can be helpful to run hard with people because you have people to, I guess, like push you and keep you accountable. But then I think the other way around as well, it's almost like accountability to go really slow and easy and take your time. And running with people who are slower than you or potentially new to running or newer than you, I feel like it's really great advice. I know, like, I've had friends before and they're like, oh, don't run like with me, like this is like too slow for you. And I was like, no, like this is like, I'm so happy, like this is not, it doesn't need to be hard and fast. And I think it's so easy to forget sometimes. Yeah, we don't need to push every single run. I mean, obviously, like it just would be so silly and like such a waste. So that's so cool that you find a way to like weave your social life into that and just like fit that into your week. I think that's so great and that's so awesome.
Yeah. One thing I've seen on your stories is you get up pretty early in the morning. But I feel like you bring your friends a lot to your morning runs as well. And I think that's good.
Yeah.
When you enjoy the views as well, I feel like you wouldn't care about what pace you're running. Mm. And that's why trail is great as well, because you completely forget about pace when you're in the trail, because it's kind of effort-based and it's also about just enjoying the scenery. So I think occasionally doing trail also helps as well. But yeah, I think when I'm back in Sydney next time, I definitely want to go on a sunrise run with you around Maroubra.
Yay! I'm so excited. Yeah. We can check out the stars. That's awesome. It's my new running activity is stargazing on the run. So let's do it. I'm excited. Yeah. What this sort of leads into as well is obviously that philosophy that you have around running. And I know you sort of broke it into this acronym. And one of the letters is enjoyment and the other one is aspirations, which I thought was so interesting because, you know, you also talk about like the training and recovery and like the more technical and structured stuff, which keen to hear more about that as well. But then I was kind of, I don't know whether surprised is the word, but just like really curious about that enjoyment aspiration side of it, because it's probably not the most top thing that I think, let's say a new runner someone gets into running, they're like, okay, how can I be better? How can I get faster? They're not normally going to be like, okay, how can I enjoy it more? So, and obviously, yeah, I think we sort of spoke a little bit about that joint, but do you want to tell us a bit about what the aspirations is and like why they're a part of your training philosophy?
Yeah, just having that general kind of direction that you want to take your running can help you, you know, go the right direction, right? So that's why I feel like having that unrealistic goal really down the line that you might not even achieve can be helpful as well, because you know, it's like the cliche saying where like if you shoot for the stars and miss, you'll still end up there or something. Yeah. I don't even
I'm
know
so glad goes, you're just but... as good as phrases.
No,
I don't
know. You land on the moon, you shoot for the stars, and if you miss them, you land on the moon. Oh no, the earth. You're on top of the world. You're on top of the world. Then top of the if you miss the stars, you'll still be on top of the world. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. yeah. So it's that phrase, which I forgot about. But yeah. And then also having a little bit of a realistic goal kind of, you know, keeps you focused, right? Because then there's something feasible that you can achieve in the short term. But yeah, like I said in that video, it's also not good to be super duper specific and tie your identity to it, because if you don't hit it, then you're going to be a bit sad. But then also, if you hit it, you're going to be focused on the next goal anyway. So I think the quicker people realize that, you know, running is not point A to point B and it can go on forever, it's better, because yeah, you are going to have bad races, you're going to have good races, but once you hit that good race, you'll be focused on the next goal. So yeah, I feel like a lot of people might think that the Olympians and stuff are content because they've already been the highest level, but in reality, they're focused on what's next as well. So there's no end to it. And yeah, I feel like until you're breaking world records, there's still somewhere to go. So yeah.
That's cool. I really like that, having an unrealistic goal. I feel like I'm such a practical person. I mean, I say that. I don't know whether everyone would describe me as a practical person, but I tend to be quite realistic, I think, with goals. And I'm usually like, I usually sort of know where I am, what's like realistic, what I'm capable of, and those sorts of things. And I would never, I don't know. Like, it's nice to like dream about great things, but I kind of like the idea of being like, you know what? Have your realistic, practical, like short-term goal, but also like have something that's just wild and out there that like lights you up and makes you excited and inspires you, because, you know, why not, right? You'll still be on top of the world if you make it.
Was running a really fast 50K one of your goals?
No.
Okay, can we talk about this? How did this Red Bull World Run come about? Because that was wild. Looking at your splits for a 52K run, faster than I could probably run 5Ks, is like, it's insane. So take us back to a few days ago when you decided to do this crazy thing.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm still sore.
Okay, good.
Well, a little bit. I'm right? Still recovering, yeah. But yeah, I think this is the most unexpected thing that's happened to me so far in my running journey. And yeah, it's still hard to process what happened. And it's the soreness that's making me realize that it actually did happen.
But you'll never forget.
Yeah, I think a few weeks ago, my friend told me that this event was happening in Japan as well, which I didn't know, because I've done it in Australia before for fun. It was so fun. And I was like, I'm definitely doing it down the line again. But I thought this year wouldn't be the year, just because, you know, I didn't think Japan would have it. But when I found out, I signed up immediately. And
sorry,
yeah, I had a little bit of time to train for it. Yep.
Would you better tell us what the actual event is, just so our listeners know what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's good. So Wings for Life Charity Run is like a charity race for spinal cord research. Most people that do it are definitely casual runners. It's for fun. It's awesome that so many people around the world get around it, because I think there were 206,000 people that entered, and all the donation fee goes towards spinal cord research, as I said earlier. And yeah, just knowing that it goes to spinal cord research is kind of really nice to know, because you're running for people that, you know, aren't as privileged and can't run at the current time. And I feel like that also pushed me a bit further as well. So the race format is quite unique, and it's a race where there's no finish line. So you start running, and after 30 minutes, a catcher car starts chasing you down, and it speeds up a little bit every half an hour. So obviously the people that can run further for longer are going to be in the race for a longer period of time. And it's pretty tough at the end, because the car is going really quick and you're tired. And if you don't speed up, it's just going to catch you. So yeah, the marathoners and ultra marathoners who are really, you know, experienced tend to win the race. And yeah, basically I came into the race not knowing what I could do, because my longest run was 38K. And yeah, my goal was just to kind of go as long as possible. I had a rough idea that I'll run more than a marathon, but I didn't know how much further I can go past the marathon, because there's a calculator online that shows you what pace you have to run to hit a certain distance before you get caught. And yeah, I just made sure to not focus too much on the marathon distance, because I thought I would kind of ease off too much when I hit the marathon if I set the goal to meet the marathon. So I was like, let's not aim for that and go further. Maybe 50K as like a pipe dream goal. And then
aim for the moon, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, aim for the stars. Aim for
sorry.
Stars.
I got confused. go. I panicked.
And yeah, I think when I hit 42K, I didn't even look at my watch. So I only found out my split kind of a little bit afterwards. But yeah, I knew that I was in for a pretty good race at that point, because yeah, I just couldn't believe I was already that far, to be honest. Mm. And when I got lapped by the guy that won the worldwide event, he was Japanese, I decided to just run with him for about 5K as well, because I thought, why not? And yeah, it was just surreal. I still can't believe that I ran with such a good runner for about 5K while just having a good time as well. And the other thing that's important to mention is you find out when the car gets you via headphones. So you actually have to wear headphones or at least have the volume up on your phone so you know. And
that's weird, right?
Yeah. But the cool thing is they... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, is it not actually a real car? Is it just like a headphone saying car has caught you, but there's no real car?
Because it's all the way around Europe, the world. They'd have a lot of cars, right?
I know, but I just sort of thought that... Yeah, I didn't quite understand this. Yeah, so yeah, we'll continue. Sorry, I obviously still don't quite understand how the event works.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird. So, it kind of freaks me out, to be honest. Like, I feel so intimidated by this race structure. Like, I don't know if I'll be ever doing this, but I'm a big supporter on the sidelines.
Yeah. So I think it's different around the world. I think in Europe, they have a physical car, which obviously doesn't mow you down. You're not going to get injured from your car.
You either win or you die.
Yeah, it freaks me out.
I think they just
it's like the Hunger
drive
Games.
Past you and honk the horn.
Yeah. Well, no, I did gather. Like, I sort of thought it wasn't completely life or death. But, like, you know, they scare you a bit, right?
Yeah, it does. But the cool thing was, because we had to wear headphones, I think they decided to get people from around the world with spinal cord injury to kind of talk about their gratitude for all the donations and stuff. So I feel like that sort of live commentary in your head through your ears really helps push you as well through the entire event. Because, I was hearing from people all around the world with these injuries and how they used to be like this professional triathlete or whatever, and then they got hit by a lawnmower or something. Or I think it was a tractor. I heard one of them, which is, you know, terrible. But that kind of gave me the motivation as well. So it's a lovely event. I think everyone should do it at one point in their life, even if it's just 1 year. But I feel like people who do it 1 year will be like, wow, that was so fun. I want to do it next year again. Mm. I have a few friends that have done it 3 years in a row and they've gotten better each year as well. So yeah, lovely event. I'd totally do it again in the future. And I want to place even higher next time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so cool. And your first ultra, right? Like, obviously you're feeling a little bit sore a few days after, but after that point where you reached the marathon, did it suddenly get hard at a certain point, or did it, you know, could you just not keep up that pace? What was that last sort of eight to 10 Ks like?
Yeah, I think through the marathon, it still felt borderline okay. But when I noticed that my splits got significantly slower at about 46 or 47 kilometers. So yeah, I think after I got to the marathon and, you know, ran a bit extra, I was like, well, I've done more than I thought already. And it is getting tiring, but I'll see how far I can go, because I knew that I made up quite a lot of time because of how fast I went through the marathon. So I knew that even if I walked for a bit, it would still take a while to get caught by the car. So when I hit 50Ks, I started walking a little bit.
That's crazy. But
yeah, it still took another like kilometer for the car to catch me. So
And just so the listeners know how fast Soda was running, you were like, even with that walking, your pace is still sub 4 minute K pace. Is that right, Soda?
Oh, I don't quite think so. I think my last 2Ks, so on Strava, I got 52Ks because I ran a bit or walked a bit further after I got caught by the car. But my last 2Ks were 9:19 per kilometer. So you can tell how much fatigue I had built in.
Yeah,
I think the video, there's a clip of me on my recent video showing how slow I was going. I was literally hobbling along and I looked like my soul had left me. But yeah, when I slowed down at 46K, I slowed down to about 4:20 pace and then eventually 5:50 pace. And then I went to like 9 minute pace. So it was a gradual kind of slowdown, but I was definitely walking near the end. Yeah.
Wow. But I mean, all the rest of it was like 3:35s or 3:40s just so wild. What sort of fueling do you need for that? Because obviously you didn't even know exactly how far you'd be going. Like, you had a rough idea. But yeah, what did you take? And I guess I think it was laps, right? So I assume you could have pinched some extra fueling pinched, you know what I'm trying to say? Top up.
Stolen.
But can you tell us a little bit about the fueling strategy?
Yeah, it was an interesting one because I have no experience with the marathon or ultramarathon. Mm. And not even that much in terms of races, more than 10K, to be honest. But yeah, I asked a few of my friends who do ultramarathons just because I thought that would be the best way to go about it. And they were like, just taking as much nutrition as possible, because like, even if you feel like you don't need it at the start, you will benefit from it later on. So I just tried to find as many gels as possible around the area. And yeah, I wasn't too successful at it, because during the race, I struggled to take in the gels, because I remember I was like 5Ks in and I was like, I definitely don't need a gel now, but I probably should start taking some. And because I felt like I didn't need it, I took, you know, 4Ks to just consume one gel. And I was like, I need to take more in before it gets hard. So I ended up taking way less than I planned. I had 3 gels for the 50K. And I also had this Morton drink mix, which is really good, I think. It's full of carbs. So I tried to sip that every lap as well, because my mom kindly stayed on the sideline, and one lap was only 900 meters. So I could pick up my bottle every lap and drink a bit. But yeah, not as much as I wanted in terms of nutrition, but I learned a lot from it. And that's why I feel like next time, I don't know what I'm going for again, but I definitely know I can do even better, hopefully, if I carry on this training and nail the nutrition next time.
Well, that's a crazy thing. Like, you didn't even taper for it, or you like dropped your mileage just a teeny tiny bit, and you had no practice with nutrition at that distance. And it was just sort of like a last minute decision to do it. Like, there's so much that you could do better. I mean, that, gosh, that sounds so like I'm telling you it wasn't good enough. It's incredible. That's the insane thing. Like, it just shows there is so much more in the tank, which must just make you feel so excited. Yeah, surely you're just like, I mean, obviously you're sore, but surely that's just like fueled so much excitement and enthusiasm for, you know, your own races and future events, and I guess just the running community as well.
Yeah, 100%. I'm really excited to see what I can do, because I feel like people peak in the marathon and ultramarathon a bit further down the line, maybe like 30 or 40 years old. And because I'm 23, I feel like I have a lot of time to get to where I want down the line. So yeah, again, I'm not sure exactly where I want to be 10 or 20 years down the line, but I definitely know I want to be faster than now. And where, if we have this foundation now, it's kind of a good sign that I'll get even better down the line. So yeah, super excited.
Yeah, I think your debut marathon is going to be a very exciting day. If you can run that quick over that distance without kind of knowing when you're going to stop, so you can't really pace it, I think, as strategically as you could for a race, I think that first marathon that you do, the official one, is going to be pretty exciting. Have you got any, I guess, short-term running goals coming up this year? Any races that you've got booked in or planned? What's sort of on the agenda for the next 6 months or so?
Yeah, I think my racing plans are quite, you know, boring this year. Because I want to focus mainly on training. And, you know, I preferred the races in Australia because, you know, I have a lot of friends racing. And going back to what I said earlier, it's more fun when you do it with other people. And yeah, the races I have coming up, I'm not as excited for because I don't have like a fellow friend that's also doing it, kind of thing. But I do have a 5K on the track at the end of this month, which will be exciting because I want to see if what my friends were saying is true, where, you know, where they do an ultra and then they PB in the 5K a few weeks after. And I've never got the chance to try that out, but this will be the first time. So I want to see if that is true. And apart from that, I just have this race in Thailand. And that one I am a little more excited for because I have two friends flying from Australia or Sydney to Thailand, and we're going to stay at a villa and we're going to do this road race. So we're going to do a 10K one day and then the half marathon the next day. So that'll be super fun. And I got a friend around my level coming as well. So I'm excited for that for sure.
Yeah, nice. That's exciting. And how are you going? I think when you're in Singapore, you mentioned the humidity was a bit rough. Have you noticed, I guess, any kind of adaptations in your training, or I guess the different climate that you've been in, has that affected you much, or have you kind of settled into it now?
Yeah, I think I wasn't in Singapore for long enough to get like adapted to it or receive benefits from it because I was only there for like 5 days. But Japan has been pretty weird so far because it's been pretty cold, actually, surprisingly for me. And I feel like it's quite similar to Sydney right now. And the only difference is that it's only going to get hotter for us because we're in the northern hemisphere and it's going to get colder for you guys. But yeah, it hasn't been too much of a change in temperature, which has been quite nice. And I am looking forward to summer because I prefer heat over, winter. But yeah, hopefully it's not too hot so that I can continue doing longer runs and maintain my intensity as well. Because it's definitely harder to run as quick in the heat, but it's just a bit more comfortable at the end of the day. I feel like, yeah, freezing in the cold after a run is not fun. And also before the run, yeah. But do you guys like the cold or the heat more? I don't
I
know.
think Lydia is definitely on your side of the fence with that one.
Yeah,
She
for sure.
hates the
I mean,
cold.
like the cold is just, there's so much more preparation for a cold run. Like the layer that you have to wear to like just like be getting ready for the run, the layer, the layers, I should say, the many layers, and then like deciding like, oh, like do I take this extra layer off? How cold is it going to be? Like I know that at like 10 Ks in, I will like slightly want to take it off, and then maybe at 15 Ks, I might be annoyed by my long sleeve. But it's also like I'm going to be cold for so long if I take it off before I go. Oh, there's just so much. Whereas like hot day, sports bra, shorts, you just go. That's it. Stop at a bubbler for some water. Like you're good. It's fine. No more thought.
No way, I'm not on board with any of this. Just put a jumper on, put a long sleeve on, throw your jumper off before you start running, start in your long sleeve, tie it around your waist, carry on. You don't get hot and
Yeah.
sweaty, you don't get sunburnt, you don't get heat stroke, you don't like, oh, it's so much more comfortable. You don't
No.
exert as much energy, you're just cruising along and it just stays nice the whole way. And we're not like, I think I'd change my mind if we were in the snow or something. But I mean, Sydney, it's not that cold.
Sure.
What about your fueling? Does it change actually in the heat? Do you have like something cool or icy before you start running? Or do you like not get affected by the heat?
I don't get too affected. I feel like I just eat a lot of hot food a lot of time. But yeah, I just eat whatever, to be honest. My diet is very random. I just try and eat a bit of everything so that I'm getting enough nutrients, but I don't look into it too much.
You seem to eat a lot. I mean, sorry, not a lot. You seem to eat quite what's the word? Quickly before you run. Like you seem to eat straight away and then run like a few minutes later. Is that something that you it's just kind of happened? Like you just go out for dinner and then you go for a run? Or is it something that you've been like kind of trying to train your gut to get better at? Because when you're obviously ending up doing the longer runs, your gut's got to be more adapted to that. Or is it just a coincidence?
I feel like it's a bit of everything. Yeah, it's so weird that it just started happening, but sometimes before a run I'd be hungry and I'd just be like, maybe I do need a bit of food before I go out. But I just noticed that I wasn't getting affected by eating right before a run. So I just assumed that I've been gifted this talent or whatever you want to call it. And taking advantage of it. Because, yeah, it's actually nice being able to eat without worrying about stomach issues during the running stuff. So,
It's so
yeah, just
helpful.
taking advantage of it and it's convenient.
That's so good. I'm just imagining you going on one of those talent shows and be like, hey guys, I'm just going to eat some food and then sprint a few laps on the stage.
Yeah.
So good. But yeah, I think if you end up doing the longer stuff later on or ultras, I think that's a real, like, it's so important. Like, that is
That's such
make
a
or break
talent.
for those longer distances. Such talent.
It is.
I
And I
know.
envy it
It's
because
just that
I
word.
have like worked myself up to the point of like trying to eat when I exercise. And like, I've always struggled, like, right since I was a kid. I remember like I'd come home from school at like 3 o'clock and I'd go to running training at 6 p.m. And it was always like, Mom, I've got like 20 minutes to have a snack and then I can't eat anything else. And Mom would be like, oh, like what have we got in the house? Like I can give you a strawberry. I'm like, Mom, I need more than a strawberry. Like they can't be too much. And it was like this real thing. Like I always remember being like stressed about it, which is crazy because like I don't know why I was that stressed. I think obviously it's different when you're like doing an intensity session compared to like a slow jog, but it's something that I'm forever like, well, I've definitely gotten way better. Like I had a sandwich actually a few weeks ago and then went for an 8K run immediately after I ate my sandwich. Whoa. And it was a very cruisy run, but I was so excited. I was like, didn't get a stitch. Like, yeah, I mean, I think you can definitely train it, but to have that skill naturally, I'm excited and inspired by it, and I'm envious, and I also just think it's going to take you to a lot of places. So, well done.
That's the secret. That's how you got the 15-minute 5K.
Yeah, well, honestly.
The strong stomach.
All the feeling, yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about running shoes? Now, obviously, you spent a bit of time working in a running shop, so you do know a thing or two, and I do know that you have had your fair share of shoes in the past. Would love to know, as we always ask, your current favorite pair, but I think because it's you, we can maybe talk about a few others as well.
Yeah, well, to address the point about working at a running shoe store, it's been amazing because you just get to try so many running shoes that maybe other people can't as well, because it's not feasible to spend like $200 multiple times a year. But yeah, having the privilege of trying out so many has been awesome, because I feel like the running room where Lydia works preaches this a lot. And yeah, I love it. But basically, every shoe stretches a different part of the leg. So it's good to like switch up the flexibility, softness, drop, and all that. And yeah, because of this, I feel like I don't have a favorite shoe, which sounds like a cop-out answer, but I just kind of wear whatever shoe that will help take the load away from where I'm sore. And having the knowledge, like the biomechanical and shoe knowledge, really helps with the training as well. So maybe that's come into play a fair amount in terms of me avoiding major overuse injuries, because I'm never loading up the same part of the leg multiple times or multiple days in a row. So yeah, but some standout shoes would probably be currently the Rebel V3 and the Asics Superblast. So one of them, the Superblast, is quite high stack, a lot of cushioning, so yeah, it doesn't flex as much and it loads up the hip and the knee a bit more, and you don't feel the ground as much. But I remember hearing a podcast that you guys did with Andy, which is beautiful, because it kind of solidified all the theories that I had in my head, basically, where, you know, taking away the support sometimes can do a lot of good things to your leg as well, because of the fact that, you know, if your elbow's in a cast for like 6 months, your arm is inevitably going to get weaker. So it's the same thing with the intrinsic muscles of your foot. If you have so much cushioning and you make every single step uniform, because there's like no variation in even angles that you're landing on when you have all that cushioning, yeah, it's not good for your feet. So the Rebel V3 by New Balance is more flexible, a little closer to the ground. And I love having that variation as well. And yeah, because I don't work at a shoe store anymore and I have to move countries, I only have like two shoes that I'm rotating right now. But I'm definitely thinking of getting more pairs, because I want to carry on not being injured. And I think spending that $200 extra to stay injury free is so much more worth than, you know, spending so much money on healthcare. So yeah, I think shoes are fun and there's a lot to it. And going into like a running specialty store definitely helps. And I'm sure you guys definitely know that as well.
That has to be the best answer to that question I think we've ever had. And I love it all. Like every single thing you said, I was just so on board with it. I think, oh, so great. I mean, I feel like we could talk about shoes for so long. I think, yeah, it's so, so, so great. I think the whole shoe rotation thing, and as you said, like spending that little bit extra, which may potentially save you money on physio treatment or like, you know, the time that you might spend off, like it's a real health thing. And then, you know, obviously not everyone can afford to right now go out and buy another two pairs of shoes. But I always sort of think the reality is you're not actually spending any more money or like overall. It's just that there's an upfront cost because you're going to have multiple pairs of shoes at one time. And obviously like the storage element of it, but yeah, that's so great. I love how you consider all of that. And it's kind of cool that you don't have a favorite, because you just like appreciate the different things that the shoes do for you. That's just awesome.
I think we need to do a whole podcast on it one day.
Yeah.
Like
a
whole running shoe podcast. Yeah. We do. It's like, oh, we definitely do. Yeah. Do you want to tell us what shoes you are going to get as your next addition? Because you said you're going to add another shoe. Do you know what it's going to be?
I think because I don't really have a plated shoe right now, well, apart from this one racing shoe that I'm saving purely for racing, I think I do want to get something with like a plastic plate or maybe a carbon plate as well. But I don't have anything in particular, maybe like a Saucony Endorphin Speed 3 or Puma Deviate Nitro 2, which mm-hmm. I've had in the past already in Sydney, but they were pretty good. So I think maybe those, or I also walk around in my Ultra Escalantes. I love my Ultras. I haven't quite transitioned into running frequently with it yet, but having a zero drop shoe with less cushioning as well compared to other shoes is so nice for walking around. And I think I did hear that Lydia also, you like barefoot shoes for work as well, right? I think.
Yeah, definitely. I wear my Vivos all the time and I love being barefoot now. It just feels so, so good. I don't have any Ultras and I think that's probably going to be my next purchase for a jogging shoe or even just like on a day where I want like something a little bit more cushioned, but still zero drop. Cause yeah, I've never worn an Ultra before, but I think that's going to be my next purchase. But yeah, for every day, zero drop. Yeah. Feels so good.
Yeah, I love my Ultras so tight. I keep meaning to give you my review. They're great. They're so good. I know you have the same pair. They're not the Escalantes, but the big chunky ones. I just...
what are the big chunky ones? Do they have a name?
The Via Olympus. But I nice. Just think big chunky okay. sounds better.
Aren't they all a bit... Well, no, okay. Not all. Like, compared to a lot of shoes, I think Ultras do have a chunky look just because they're wider than...
Oh, but these are like thick as well.
These are like the real chunky ones.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But no, they're so good. And now when I wear, because I wear them to work quite a lot, and then I wear my Vivos as well to work. And then if I put on another shoe after that, they just feel so tight and narrow, depending on what shoe it is. But like the Pumas you're talking about, I've got those, and they just feel so snug because I think my foot has just gotten used to that really nice, spacious feel. So I think definitely, as you said, the variety is good. But I think also that, yeah, having the width and that the change in drop and all those things, I think it's, yeah, everyone should be, if they can afford it, having at least another option. For sure.
Yeah. One thing I noticed recently, which is interesting as well, is that socks might be playing a factor as well, because I'm used to my Ultra Escalantes now, but I can only kind of wear it with my Injinji socks now, because then my toes can be free. But I feel like a lot of my socks are now starting to feel quite narrow and compressive in the toe box. And yeah, I feel like I have the right width of shoes, but I want to make sure my socks aren't cramming my toes in as well. So I need to invest in a few more, you know, toe socks, I think.
Mm. Yeah, it's a really good point. And someone mentioned that to me like a few months ago about making sure you wear your Injinjis with your wide toe box shoes. But it's funny because it's not something that I'd previously considered. And I haven't noticed a super big difference with my socks, like being in like my SEP socks or my features compared to my Injinji socks. But I feel like I need to pay more attention to that and just actually like maybe do one foot with the Injinjis and one with other sock and just like see how it feels. Cause I feel like it's something that I hadn't thought of. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, I feel like we should wrap things up. Although we could talk all night, we're just going to have to do a part 2 about shoes, I think, in the near future.
Yeah.
But for those who aren't already following Sota, you can reach him at Instagram at Sota Mahara. So SOTAMAEHARA, or he also has a podcast. So do you want to give us a little bit of an intro into your new podcast, the Wave Running Podcast? Tell us a brief overview of what you're going to be talking about on there.
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, I love the running community, especially the Sydney one. And I feel like there's a lot of stories to be told in that community from different individuals. So we probably won't get as sciencey as the Strongest Stride podcast, so you can come here for that. But if you ever want to hear some cool stories about runners and how they got into sport, what sort of adversity they had to go through to get to where they are and stuff like that, I guess that's the Wave Running Podcast will be a pretty good place for that. And yeah, we're going to have guests from also the US and other parts of the world too, and of all abilities too. And I'm going to, yeah, try and get everyone I know on it. So get around it, and hopefully we'll get Sophie and Lydia on as well, and I'll get better at it down the line.
Oh, we would be honored to be on there. And I think obviously your YouTube channel as well, which is linked on your Instagram, we'll have linked below as well. I think there's endless hours of content for people to catch up on, so they better get onto it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Sota. Very excited already for round two, and also for you to come back to Australia. I hope that's happening soon. I don't know whether that's anything that you have any announcements on, but I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, that there'll be announcements soon about when you're coming back to Australia.
Yeah, I'll definitely announce at some point.
Okay. Stay tuned. We'll find out in part two. All right. Thank you so much, Sota. We will speak to you soon.
Thank you.